Picture a job site. A pump sitting next to a pit of standing water. A length of hose snaking away across the dirt, carrying that water somewhere it needs to be. Most people, if they notice the hose at all, never give it a second thought. But that hose is doing something specific. It has a name, and once you understand what it does, every choice about how it's built starts to make sense. This is the working hose. Today, we're talking about discharge hoses. The thing that defines a discharge hose is its position. It sits after the pump. The fluid moves through it under positive pressure, pushed by the pump, on its way out to wherever it needs to go. A drain, a field, storage, another piece of equipment. That sounds simple, but it changes everything. Compare it to a suction hose. A suction hose sits before the pump. It works under negative pressure, with the pump pulling fluid in. The two hoses look similar from a distance, but they live very different lives. A suction hose has to resist collapse. The vacuum inside it wants to crush the walls inward, so it gets reinforced for that. A discharge hose has to resist bursting. The pressure inside it pushes outward, so it gets reinforced differently. You can usually tell them apart up close. The suction hose feels stiffer, often with a wire spiral inside the wall. The discharge hose is typically more flexible, built for burst resistance rather than vacuum tolerance. If you swap them, things go wrong. Use a discharge hose for suction, and the walls collapse inward. Use a suction hose for high-pressure discharge, and you waste capacity, or worse. So the first principle is positional. The hose is named for where it sits. Where it sits decides everything else. Most discharge hoses follow the same basic logic underneath. Three layers, each with a job. The innermost layer is the tube. The tube material is matched to the fluid. The middle layer is the reinforcement. This is what gives the hose its pressure rating. There are a few common ways to do it. A textile braid, woven from fibers like polyester or nylon, gives moderate pressure handling and good flexibility. A wire braid, or wire spiral, usually steel, handles higher pressures, especially in larger diameters. More layers, or stiffer reinforcement, mean a higher rating. The outer layer is the cover. This is the skin you actually see. It protects the hose from the outside world. Abrasion from being dragged. Cuts from sharp edges. Sunday ozone. Chemical splashes from the environment. Each layer is a separate decision. You match each one to the job. If all discharge hoses share the same basic logic, why do so many types exist? Because the jobs differ. A lay-flat hose is the lightest type. Thin walls, folds flat for storage, easy to roll out and put away. Many operators choose lay flat for temporary water transfer. The trade-off is that it handles less pressure than a heavier hose, and it's more vulnerable to abrasion and punctures. A hose made from flexible plastic, often a vinyl compound, is light and economical. It can be chemically inert enough for water class fluids. It bends easily and stores compactly. The trade-off is that it doesn't last as long in rough outdoor service as a rubber hose would. A rubber hose is the heavier choice. Natural or synthetic rubber, with textile or wire reinforcement built in. It's stiffer to handle, but it stands up to solids in the flow and rough handling on the job. For dewatering work where the water carries sand or grit, many operators reach for rubber. And then there are reinforced and specialty hoses, multiple plies, embedded wire, polyurethane blends. Each is a different answer to the same question. How rough is this job? And how much pressure does it need to take? When someone is matching a discharge hose to a job, a few things tend to come up over and over. First, working pressure versus burst pressure. Working pressure is the everyday rating, the number the hose is meant to live at. Burst pressure is where the hose fails. The ratio between them is the safety factor. In industrial hose contexts, that ratio is often somewhere in the range of 3:1 or 4:1. The margin gives you room for surges, wear, and the gradual realities of a hose getting older. Second, diameter. A larger diameter means less friction loss for a given flow, but it also means a heavier hose and bigger fittings. Third, length and head loss. The longer the run, the more pressure you lose to friction. Routing matters. Elevation matters. The pump on the other end has to be sized for what the hose will take from it. Fourth, the fluid itself. Some inner tube materials tolerate certain chemicals and certain temperatures better than others. Match the tube to the fluid. And finally, the fittings. A hose is only as strong as the connection at its ends. The fitting has to match the rated pressure and seal properly. That last detail catches people more often than the hose itself does. A few common ideas are worth pushing back on. The first is that a hose is a hose. It isn't. Suction and discharge hoses are different products for different jobs. The second is that a higher pressure rating is always better. Not necessarily. A higher rated hose is usually heavier, stiffer, and more expensive. The right hose is the one rated for the job, not the one rated for everything. The third is that if the hose holds, the assembly is fine. The assembly includes the fittings. The weakest part sets the rating. A discharge hose is one of the most ordinary pieces of industrial gear there is. It sits at the back end of a pump, doing a quiet job. The people who use it well are the ones who understand what they're holding. The position decides the construction. The construction decides the rating. The rating decides whether the hose can do the work. Once you see it that way, every choice on the spec sheet starts to make sense. This is the working hose. Thanks for listening.